タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are chatting with Melissa Watson, fitting expert for Palmer Pletch and designer for McCall's Patterns. Melissa is here to talk with us about tissue fitting and getting started with pattern adjustments. We've had so many requests for an episode about fitting and we're thrilled to dive in with Melissa.
We're diving in head first.
I think you mean bodice first?
Well, technically it would be back first.
Splash.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, guys. Nice to hear you.
We are so excited to chat with you today. We had the opportunity to meet you last fall at Camp Workroom Social, and I think our listeners are going to love hearing from you in this episode. So to start us off, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. So my name is Melissa Watson, and I am a licensed pattern designer for McCall Pattern Company, and I'm a fit enthusiast. So I teach fit, and I fit people for a living. All types of bodies, men and women, all of that good stuff. And I'm a designer. Yeah.
Amazing. And where do you live?
I live in Brooklyn, New York, and in Fort Greene, to be specific.
You have an interesting background, schooling, and tell us kind of how you got to where you are today.
So I kind of, it's different because I've been listening to all your podcasts the last day, and it's so cool to hear everybody else's background, and especially the new independent sewers and that kind of thing and how they got started. My background is completely different. Like, I kind of grew up in the old school sewing world. So my mom owns a company called Palmer Pletch, and my mom and Susie Pletch, they have been teaching sewing since 1973, teaching fitting. They were the first, get this, the first independent people to be signed to a major pattern company. So they were the first that weren't a ready-to-wear designer. So of course they had, you know, Bob Mackey and Calvin Klein and Edith Head and Diane von Furstenberg all signed as ready-to-wear designers, licensed ready-to-wear designers to Vogue Pattern Company. But my mom and Susie Pletch were the first people to be signed as just like as actually sewing teachers. So it's pretty interesting because now, you know, we have bloggers that are signed as independent designers or just bloggers that make design their own patterns and they're independent pattern designers, but that kind of didn't exist. So my mom, I really grew up around it. And I've been, you know, attending my mom's workshops since I was like, could walk. My mom and Susie Pletch were kind of like one of the first sewing celebrities, I would say. You know, we would go to this show called Sew Expo in Puyallup, Washington every year, and it always landed on my birthday. So I was always so bummed because my mom was never here for my birthday. But I would go with them some years, and they would, you know, they always had a booth there, and people would run up to my mom and be like, "Oh, Patty, can I get your autograph?" And I would think that was hilarious and be like, "You're famous."
Yeah, people want your mom's autograph. That's got to be a bit of a weird experience.
Totally.
So that is so cool. So your mom is Patty Palmer. Can you tell us a little bit more about her? Because right now she has a sewing school in Portland, right?
Yes. Yeah, so she actually has a sewing school in Portland, Seattle, Michigan, Philadelphia, and New York.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have those satellite locations, and we have a teacher for each location that teaches the curriculum, and we teach mostly fitting classes using the Palmer Pletch tissue fitting method that she and Susie and Marta Alto developed. So we do 2-day classes and 4-day classes, and then we do upper body and lower body. And then there's some tailoring classes thrown in there, but mostly focused on fitting.
And I think a lot of the sewing community is going to recognize your mom's name from the book Fit for Real People, because that is quite a popular book in the sewing community for fitting. So can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Absolutely. So that book, it's called Fit for Real People, as you just said. Actually, we just redid the entire Fit for Real People book. So the new name, and you guys are first to hear this, actually, the new name is The Palmer Pledge Complete Guide to Fitting. Ooh. And we are opening up the pre-sale for the book this Friday.
For our listeners, that's March 16th.
Yes, March 16th.
So that will be out by the time this episode comes out. That's so exciting.
Oh, that's so exciting. So yeah, so it's the Palmer Pledge Complete Guide to Fitting, So Great Clothes for Every Body Fit Any Fashion Pattern is the subtitle.
Wow. I mean, we love getting brand new news and information on the podcast. So thank you for sharing. That's super exciting. So I want to know, how did you get involved? Like, you were young, or your mom was this sewing celebrity. When did you actually become a part of the Palmer Pledge business?
So it's kind of muddled, because I started a pattern line with another girl in 2000, in I think 2000 or 2001, called DIY Style. And this was before all of the blogging or all of the like YouTube or anything. We were doing these things called, God, this really makes me sound old. These things called vodcasts. So like video on demand. Oh. And I cringe when I look back at these videos, but it was called, the website was called DIY Style, so do it yourself style. And this girl, Elise King, who I met through the sewing industry, her mom worked in the sewing industry, and we started this thing together, and we did a line for McCall's. And eventually that, you know, we did it for a few years, and then I decided that I wanted to do my own line. And my line is branded Melissa Watson for Palmer Pledge, because I write all of my guide sheets for my McCall patterns, and we incorporate alteration lines printed on the tissue, which I feel like a lot of people don't know about this. It is really helpful for fitting, because all the lines are printed on the tissue, so it tells you exactly where to cut. And if you read the instructions, it tells you how to try on the tissue and figure out what to add. So you can do this yourself. It's a little bit harder to do yourself, but you can definitely by reading the guide sheets.
I would love to hear a little bit more about the tissue fitting method, because I'm not super familiar with it personally. So how does that method differ from other fitting methods? And can you just give us like a little rundown of what is tissue fitting? What does it mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So back in the day when my mom and Marta were fitting people, you know, they did make muslins, or they did make ginghams is what they called. So they made like sloper bodices in every size. And then they would try them on the people and then figure out what alterations. Then they would move to tissue. But they found that they kind of didn't really need to do that whole muslin fitting portion, especially in a two or four day class. And you could go straight to tissue. So what you do is there's a way to prepare the tissue by taping it and pinning it together, which I explain in my crafty classes. And I explain, actually, there's a bunch of videos on YouTube, on the McCall's YouTube. I explain how to do it. And so you tape in these certain places, usually the armhole or the crotch of the pants. And then you mark the stitching lines, and then you pin on the stitching lines the pattern together with the seam allowance on the outside. And you physically try the tissue on.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like so logical that you would skip that muzzling step, because that takes such a long time. And I think it's a big hurdle for a lot of people when they're starting to sew. They don't want to spend all this time on a test version. They want to get right to the final product, right? So being able to do a tissue fit makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And it really doesn't take that much time. Like it is a little, and I'm simplifying it a little bit, but it, you know, depending on how many alterations you need to do, it does take a little bit of time. But in the end, like that little bit of time that you took, it will just make a world of a difference for a garment. And, you know, in the process, you also do a fabric fitting. So you do the same thing, but then when you're doing it in fabric, you're fitting both sides of the body.
Right.
The most important thing that I see is that people are not picking the right size pattern for them.
Oh, interesting. And why do you think that is?
Because people are buying the pattern for their full bust measurement, which is, I get why they're doing it, because they need it to, especially, and right now I'm only talking about the, you know, fitting dresses or blouses or anything that has a bodice. But when you get your measurement for your full bust, it usually puts you up a size or two. And then usually what you'll see is that, you know, the back may be a little baggy, the shoulders may droop off your shoulders, the neck may be too wide. And that's just the biggest issue that I see with people.
So you think a better method would be to choose the size based on your
upper bust
measurement and then do a full bust adjustment?
High bust.
The measurement just above your breasts and under your armpits, right?
Exactly. So you bring the tape, it's a little bit below your, like right over or almost slightly below your shoulder blades, and you bring the tape under your armpits and over your bust. You'll actually find, unless you're really full busted, that the numbers are not that different from the full bust to the high bust, unless you're really full busted. But that way, from that measurement, you'll use the size on the bust measurement on the pattern envelope. So just use the size from the bust measurement, and that's going to be your size. If you're in between sizes, I usually tell people to go to the smaller size, because that way, if you get it as close as possible to fit in the shoulders and the neck and the upper chest, you can fix everything from there.
Right. So instead of choosing a size that's going to be too big on you because you've gone from your full bust measurement, doing the high bust and then adjusting up is going to result in a better fit for people.
Exactly. So adjusting with, you know, a full bust adjustment, or maybe I see a lot, a broad back or a high round back. Like, people think that just because you're young, or, you know, that you don't have a high round back or a broad back or a rounded back, but that's, it's so not true. It's your bones, you know, it's how your bones were built. It's not anything to do, nothing's wrong with you, you know, it's just how your bones are put together. People don't think about it. So a lot of people buy for their full bust, and then you it's really hard and a pain in the butt to bring the shoulders in or bring the neckline in. You'll have to do so much more pattern drafting.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I want to get into all of the fitting things that people are going to encounter in their sewing journeys. But I like what you said there about there not being something wrong with your body if you need a certain kind of adjustment. And I feel like this is probably a big hurdle for people. Like, if you want to fit your body, you have to confront your own measurements. You have to really look at yourself objectively and not emotionally. How do you help your students when you're working with them, or people that you're fitting, sort of accept that and look at it a bit more analytically?
I think it's just the way that I talk about it. The way that I look at it is that it's kind of like going to the doctor's office. It's very clinical, right? It's like, these are your bones. This is how they're constructed. This is your body. You know, this is where you have a little bit of a pillow, a little bit of fluff, like a little bit of extra. This is how we need to account for that. And it's very straightforward and matter of fact and almost clinical. You know, there's no right and wrong. I just am there to help you figure out what is going to make you feel the best, and what I think, because I've done this a lot, is going to look best on your body. You know, I've fit over in my other job in fitting men for custom suits. I fit over 500 men for custom suits, and I fit, you know, hundreds and hundreds of women in the tissue fitting method. So, like, I really can kind of look at it with an objective eye and tell you, you know, this is going to work for you. And yeah, I think it's just about the way that you talk about it too. There's nothing wrong with you. There's literally, whether you are a rail skinny or you have a booty, no one is ever going to fit in the pattern. Like, the pattern is not, no one is ever going to fit in the pattern perfectly. I've never seen it once. Okay. So that's, I mean, the pattern is made as a guide and you are the designer and it's a guide and you are the editor, right?
Yeah. And that's really comforting to hear that you never see it fit perfectly right out of the envelope, because I think a lot of us are really hard on ourselves when we don't fit into a pattern right away. I would love to know, because you have fitted so many people and I'm sure you've seen kind of the before of people coming into classes a little bit apprehensive and maybe a little bit self-conscious, to the after, when they end up with a garment that fits them really well. I mean, we talk about it a lot on the podcast where sewing allows you to fit things to your body, which then makes you more confident and makes you appreciate yourself and accept yourself more. So have you seen that sort of evolution of your students in your classes, and how has that been for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been teaching for a few years, but even more than that, what I've seen in like my whole life of growing up with Patty and seeing, you know, her teach these workshops every year for like 40 years is people keep coming back. People come back every year because, and I love that you guys said this, and I've heard this on all of your podcasts with so many different people that you've interviewed, but you're not going to get it perfect the first time. But I guarantee you it will fit better than anything you will ever just make right out of the package.
Yeah, it's important to recognize that. I think when you get into sewing, the expectation is that you're going to be able to open the packet and make something that will fit. And, you know, sometimes you get lucky and it fits pretty good. And I think your expectations evolve as well, right? Initially, you might not notice the little fitting issues. And I'm sure as a fitting expert, you have a keen eye for those kinds of things too.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm curious, as far as people who are just getting started, we just had a beginner sewing episode, and I'm wondering about fit for beginners and whether or not you think that's something that beginners should be focused on, or if that's something that, you know, they can worry about down the line once they've learned how to actually make a garment, then worry about fit.
So to be perfectly honest, I do say that people that sign up for our class, they do have to know how to sew a pattern. They need to know how to work with a pattern, understand what the notches are, because a lot of what we're doing is pattern alteration. So it's, you know, understanding how to work with a pattern, it is kind of advanced. You know, we're altering and drafting. You know, when it really clicked for me in fitting was when I went to Parsons for design school for fashion design. And when I did pattern drafting, all of this fitting stuff clicked, because it's how you're altering a pattern. So I do recommend, you know, you can definitely tissue fit as a beginner. Like, you can definitely fit. I would just recommend you know how to sew.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, because you kind of have to tackle each thing one step at a time, right? Especially if you're learning a totally new skill. Do you have a pattern in your collection with McCall's that you would point, you know, somebody who's got the basics down, point them there as far as learning a little bit more about the tissue fitting method?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a Palmer Pletch pattern, and we developed this pattern. It's a basic sloper dress. So it's just a sheath dress. It has a waistline seam and it's just a classic bodice, and you can put a sleeve or no sleeve. And it really teaches you what you would need to do in the most fitted type of garment. Now, of course, not all of your garments that you make are going to be fitted, but I will say, even in a really loosely fitted thing, I will throw the tissue on. I will tissue fit, because especially, you know, in the shoulders and the neck and the back, I want it to fit. Even if it's, I have a dress from McCall's. It's I call it the swing dress, and it is an A-line, like super like trapeze dress, super wide. But I still try on the upper portion of it, because I want to make sure that I have broad shoulders. So I want to make sure that the shoulders are wide enough to fit my shoulders. Otherwise, I'm going to get drag lines in my sleeve. But yes, in the Palmer Pletch line, we do have that basic sloper dress. We have a basic pant. And then we go to the princess seam dress. That's the level up. But if you get that basic sloper dress, it is the most complete. It's almost like buying the Fit for Real People book. I shouldn't tell you that, but it has the most complete instructions in the guide sheet to show you how to do any alteration that you need.
So we're definitely going to put links to these patterns in the show notes for our listeners who are interested in checking them out. And also, I encourage our listeners to check out the Fit for Real People book, because I know you mentioned that that one pattern is almost as good as the book, but I don't think it is as good as the book, because I think this is a book that everyone should have. It's such a great fitting book and such a great reference. So we will link that in the show notes as well. I would love to know, can you go through a few common fitting issues that you found people encounter in your classes?
Yeah, definitely. So common fit issues that I see, I mean, it varies obviously from top to bottom, but definitely in dresses or the bodice and skirt and sleeve alterations, I see a lot of sleeve alterations. So widening your sleeve, that's like, it's a great alteration to know how to do, because you definitely want enough ease in your sleeve so you can move around, especially if you're sewing a woven. And then also forward shoulders. Broad back is a big one that people don't realize that they have. If you ever have worn something and you feel like a crew neck blouse or top, and you feel like the top is choking you in the neck, you probably have a high round or even a broad back. Or if you're like driving in your car and you feel like you can barely reach your arms forward, you definitely have a broad back. So the high round and the broad back, square shoulders, forward shoulders, usually just shoulder issues, lots of shoulder issues.
Thank you to our computers and phone obsessions for all those shoulder issues.
Exactly.
I can vouch for that broad back adjustment, because when I discovered that, it was revolutionary in my sewing. I didn't realize that was what was going on, but it's true. Every time I reach my arms forward, I feel like the sleeves are digging right into my armpit and it hurts, and I can't, like, you know, range of movement is limited. And once I did my first broad back adjustment, I was like,
so good. It's so good. And it's like, yeah, it's those little things, and it may be a lot or it may just be a little, but those little, I have a very like forward shoulder. So if I don't do the forward shoulder adjustment, I get really big drag lines in my sleeve, and I'm very square. So I get like bubbles behind my neck if I don't do a square shoulder.
Oh, interesting. So focusing on the shoulders is a good one. What are some other adjustments people might encounter?
I mean, full bust is a huge one. I mean, and everybody knows it. See, that seems to be the one that people start with, which is great. Like it is a really popular one, and that really helps with getting the right size as well. Because if you do get the right size in the upper chest, you know, and it doesn't quite come to your center front in the bust area, you just do a little bit of a full bust. I mean, I can go down a size and have to do a full bust adjustment. I'm not full busted at all, but if you want to get the right size, a little bit of a full bust adjustment is not a bad thing.
Do you have any advice for our listeners? Because I think we can get quite overwhelmed with fitting sometimes. And there's all these terms that you're throwing out there, like full bust, sway back, broad back, shoulder, arm, you know. And I think when we're looking at ourselves in the mirror and trying to figure out what to do, it can be easy to almost overfit and want to do everything at once. So are there a couple of things to look at and focus on for someone who's just starting to learn how to fit, just a few things that they could sort of pinpoint to begin with and then move from there instead of doing everything at the same time?
So we have this awesome method that is the tissue fitting order, which is what we teach in our classes. You start with the back and move around to the front. It's very, you know, it's very simple and straightforward. But what I would say, you know, if you're just going to at least try on the tissue and do one adjustment, you know, just take it one step at a time. Try on, just make little observations about what you see, and maybe just do one or two adjustments. And, you know, most people don't have more than one or two. It's very rare. So you don't have to think that you have to do all of these adjustments, because most people only have just a few things that they need to do that will make a dramatic difference in the way that their garment is going to fit. I would also say I like to do things in blocks. So I will cut out my pattern, get it ready for tissue fitting, maybe cut out like two or three patterns, get it ready for tissue fitting and try them on and do my tissue fitting. And then I'll just put it away. And then I'll sew the next day. But once my mind is in that mode, that, and it also, cause you know, I always say that you have to be very intelligent to be a sewer. You have to be very smart, because you're making all of these decisions, you know, whether, you know, fit as well is subjective. So also everything that I'm telling you right now is not necessarily right for you or wrong, or, you know, you just have to be subjective. Look at what you know your body and look at what you want and just say, you know, this could be a little better in this area. And if you do it in blocks, it doesn't seem so intimidating. Like if you just do all of your fitting, get the alterations, get your patterns ready, and then put it away and save, you know, the rest for later, I feel like I've accomplished something, you know?
Absolutely. And it's so interesting that you mention doing it in blocks, because we have talked on the podcast before about batching tasks and how that makes us, you know, be able to focus on one thing at a time instead of going through a whole project from start to finish. So it's really encouraging to hear that that works for the tissue fitting method as well. And I love that that makes it seem like a little bit less intimidating, because you have your sort of mind in that place where you're fitting now, and then you can put it aside and take it to the next level the next day. So I love that. Can we talk a little bit about overfitting? Because you just mentioned most people only have a couple of adjustments to make. And I personally agree with you. And I think that in the sewing community, home sewists tend to maybe take fitting a little bit too far. And like you said, it is subjective and it's all about what you want to do. You know, sewing, it's your project. So you can decide how much you want to fit. But what are your thoughts about overfitting? And do you think that maybe we obsess a little bit too much about all those little wrinkles? Do you have any tips for our listeners in regards to that?
Well, I just have to bring this up because I think it was hilarious when I was listening to Heather Lorenza, when she was like, I'm not a fit Nazi. I don't make 500 muslins. and I just thought that was fantastic. But I think the whole method of the Palmer Pledge tissue fitting method is that it isn't overfitting. We're not making any muslins. Like it's actually like very, you know, I'm only reaching a small amount of people now, but I think we do have a little bit, you know, we're getting to the younger audience in giving them the idea that fitting isn't so scary, and you don't have to necessarily make a muslin, and you don't need to, you know, fit it 10 times for it to be right. And I totally agree with you that as well, that those little wrinkles, you know, fit, again, I'm going to say it again, is subjective. That maybe, you know, my mom would say, oh, your pants are too tight. You got some wrinkles under your bum, and you got some wrinkles in your crotch. I'm like, well, that's how I like them to fit. So I, you know, and fashion changes, and people's lifestyles change, and fabric changes. Like I will tell you, I've made a pair of pants and fit them in tissue and had to take them in so much because of the fabric I was using. Then I cut my tissue pattern down to make it smaller, because I was like, oh, the next one, I won't need this much ease. I made the next pair of pants out of a non-stretch men's suiting wool fabric, and I couldn't barely get them on. So, you know, I definitely think that like each fabric that you use is going to be different. You know, I cheated. I shouldn't have cut it down. I was just, you know, I should have listened to my mom in there.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because my initial thought when I think of the tissue fitting method is about knits and stretchy fabrics and how tissue doesn't have that give. So how does that work with the tissue fitting method?
So what we tissue fit for are wovens.
Okay.
There is a method. My mom has written another book about it. She uses the same method for, it's called Knits for Real People. And she tells you how to tissue fit knits. So there's a few tricks and tips that you use when you tissue fit knits versus wovens. Usually you want to fit, depending on the, you need to assess your knit, but depending on the stretchiness of the knit, you'll fit slightly away from your center front. So you'll fit either a half an inch or 3/4 of an inch away from your center front, and that will allow the knit to stretch around your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, fit for knits is so much more forgiving. So I can see why the focus is on wovens, because that's where it really gets tricky, right?
Totally. And if you always fit them for wovens, then you can always use that pattern for knits. And actually I've found that I don't even really make the pattern smaller for knits. I just, because I kind of want my knits to drape as well. So, you know, you can always take it in fabric, but if it's too small, like my pants situation, can't really do anything about that.
So I think a lot of our listeners use PDF patterns as well. And I wanted to ask you about this because I know the tissue fitting method probably won't work for print at home PDF patterns. But do you think that there's any way to apply that knowledge for those types of patterns? Or would you say that it's like a completely different thing and you need to have a tissue pattern to be able to use your fitting method?
Okay, this is really embarrassing to say, but I've never sewn a PDF pattern.
Wow. See, that's so interesting.
I don't know if I have the patience to print it out and do it, but that's just me. But I've heard a lot of people do come to our classes with, and they're a little bit more advanced, you know, granted, but what they'll do is they'll just trace it off onto, I've heard Swedish paper, mm-hmm. or we have Palmer Pledge pattern paper. So our pattern paper is the same weight as tissue paper, and you can trace off a PDF pattern. Granted, that's more work for sure. But I will tell you that you can't really fit a printer paper pattern on you, because it just won't. The good thing about tissue is that it almost drapes like fabric. Mm-hmm. Like it gets pretty close. It's more malleable.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like to trace their PDFs anyways. So if you're going to trace, if you're on team trace, as we call it, you can just trace onto tissue and then you have this method that you can use.
Exactly. And you can use any pattern. It doesn't have to be a McCall's. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Palmer Pledge. It can be any McCall's, Vogue, Butterick, any independent, whatever. So as long as the material that you're using, the tissue that you're using is a tissue indeed.
Awesome. And I just want to, because I'm trying to visualize the process in my head. And I know, I'm sure that in the book and in your patterns, you explain this in more detail. But can you just kind of close the loop for me? Once you do the tissue fitting on your body, how do you then transfer those adjustments onto the flat pattern?
Yes. So once you do, like, let's take an example of someone that maybe was a little bit full busted. So what they would do is they would put the pattern on their body, and they would make sure that the center back was at the center back, and they would try and then get the center front to the center front. It probably wouldn't make it. So as soon as the tissue is on and on correctly, then she can take the measuring tape and measure from the center front of the pattern to where her center front is. And that is the adjustment amount that you'll need to make to the flat pattern. So that now you have your measurement, right? Let's say it's 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch. So now you have that measurement, and there is a order of operation, right? So you do that alteration before you go on to do other alterations. So if you had a broad back, you would do that before you did the full bust adjustment, because you want to do first what is going to affect other adjustments. So let me try and say this in a good way. So the broad back is going to give you a little more width, right? Across the tummy, across the chest, just a little bit. So you don't want to do the full bust adjustment and add too much and then do the broad back, and then it's just going to be too big. So you want to do the broad back first, a high round, all of the back adjustments first, and then move around to the front. So that's why we always check the back first before we go to the front. And then once you have that measurement, you take the pattern off, take all of the pins out, and you lay it flat, and you cut along the alteration lines, and the steps are there in the guide sheet for you of where to cut and spread and cut and tape and fill with tissue, and then you try it back on.
Wonderful. I love hearing all of those steps, and it sounds like the guidebook is really helpful as well. So thank you for explaining that. This is also new to me, so I'm very fascinated by this tissue fitting method. Okay, so Helen has a question.
So then the final tissue that you've made with the gaps filled in with the extra tissue and you've adjusted it for your body, is that your pattern, or do you then recommend that it gets traced onto like a fresh sheet of tissue?
No, that's your pattern. So once you then you try it back on, and you might need to lower, raise the dart, or, maybe add a little bit more at the waist, at lower waist or hips. You can add that on. You try it back on, make sure it's looking good. It's fitting, everything's coming to the center front. The shoulders look good. Then you can just take the pins out, and you always want to iron. You want to tape on the right side and iron on the wrong side. So you just iron it on the wrong side to get it all nice and flat. And you that's your pattern. The altered pattern is your ready to go pattern.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think not everyone knows you can iron tissue and paper. So that's a great tip. As long as you don't have tape on at least one side of your pattern, then you can iron it nice and flat and get all those wrinkles out.
Exactly. Yeah, I always iron all of my tissue. Is that weird?
No, I do the same. I love starting when I'm cutting out a pattern. I love everything to be so like as flat as possible.
Crisp. Yeah.
Crisp,
me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So we iron on a wool setting with no steam. Obviously, you don't want to put steam on your pattern. You put no water on the pattern.
Yet. Yeah. Right. So we have some male listeners, and we're always looking out for them because we want to encourage more men to start sewing. And you mentioned that you fit custom suits for men. So what's the process like for fitting men's clothes? And do you have any advice for our male sewists who are trying to fit close to their bodies?
Oh my gosh. So I love it because men have all the same issues and body con issues and all the same things as women, I swear. It's, even some men have boobs. So I fit like over almost 500 guys for custom tailoring, custom suits, pants. And, I think the biggest thing for men is, they have the same, like a broad back or a square shoulder, or a high round, or they're, a sway back. They usually have a little less in the front. So that's, that's the difference, the major difference, at least for blazers. And I think with men fitting, the tissue fitting method can work the exact same way. You just probably won't be doing full bust adjustments, but that's okay. We're actually, I'm coming out my fall pattern this year. It's going to be a unisex blazer for men and women. And so it's
cool.
It's going to be, it's a little bit simplified. So it's not going to, don't be afraid of a blazer. Like it's, it's not, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles to make it a super difficult sew, but it is, it's unisex. So it can, I feel like a lot of guys want to. I remember I was listening to your podcast yesterday, and I was listening to Mimi G and how she was talking about her boyfriend saying that the next thing he wanted to make was a blazer. And I was like, oh, I should send her my pattern.
You should.
But yeah, the pattern will have all of the instructions on fitting men as well as women. Even in the old Fit for Real People book, there is, oh no, sorry, it's the Jackets for Real People book. There's a section in the back that talk about fitting men.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for any gender with fitting any person, right? Every body is different, and we all have our own hang-ups with our bodies too. So I like your analytical approach to fitting and how you're talking about it, being a little bit more clinical and like a diagnosis of what you need in order to get to your ideal fitting situation.
Absolutely. And then also you have to take into account your personal preferences, right? Mm-hmm. So like I can tell you what is going to work best, and there are certain things that are definite that will definitely make a better fit. But really at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable too. So that, taking into account your personal preferences and that makes you the designer, when you're trying on the tissue and making all of these judgment calls and all of these decisions, you're really becoming the designer for your own custom garment.
Yeah, it's so true. And it can be so empowering because, you know, as we've said many times, sewing can help us to really learn to love our bodies in the place that we're at. And sometimes it's hard, I think, for people to see fitting and sewing as a lifelong learning process. And I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on this, because I know for a lot of women, especially, body changes over time can be a little bit traumatizing. If you have kids and as you age, your body changes so much and it can be hard to confront those changes. Do you think that fitting your own clothes and sewing your own clothes can help us in that process? And how can we approach it more openly so that we're constantly learning how to fit our bodies and not seeing it as like a perfect end result?
Absolutely. It is a lifelong study. Absolutely. I've always told my mom that she is an amazing teacher and coach, but she's also a therapist because I see people come to her classes year over year over year, and they know how to fit. They know the method. They know, you know, but they what they'll start to do is they'll start to bring new designs and new patterns and new and figure out how to fit those patterns on their body and those different designs, and their bodies change. And they, but I feel like when you're around this group of women that are everyone, like I said, no matter how thin you are, however many fit issues you may have, no one is going to fit in the pattern right out of the package perfectly. And everybody has their own things. And when you're around this group of women that is learning and they are, you know, they're making these decisions and making things, you know, making things for themselves and actually going away with amazing garments, I feel like it's so empowering that it is more of a clinical, you know, this is how it is thing. And this is how we're going to deal with it, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
So do you have any final kind of encouraging words for all the sewists out there that are getting ready to maybe get more into fitting, dip their toes into fitting, or just explore it a little bit further?
Oh man. I would definitely say you can do it. You can do it. But also to note that like it's the any little tiny fitting that you do is going to be better than just sewing it out of the package. And I know there are definitely brands that will fit you better and certain designs that will fit you better, but if you just, even if you don't do any alterations, but if you just try on the tissue and kind of have an idea of where it's going to go, I mean, that's a success right there. And if you just do one little alteration, it's just going to be light years better than having done none at all. And I think, you know, I think it's just a really empowering thing to be able to make those decisions about how you want your garment to look.
I love that. That's great advice. Thank you.
Yeah, the decision-making especially, I mean, again, going back to Heather Lou's episode, just how things that you do in your sewing practice can translate into your life. And I think decision-making is a really hard thing to get good at. And
totally.
You mentioned that while we're sewing, we have to make all these decisions. And I never thought about it that way, but it's so true. You have to make decisions. You're the designer. You have to, you know, look at things and decide what you want to do. And that can translate into other areas of your life. So I love that outlook on it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I would love to talk a little bit more about your patterns with McCall's. You design for McCall's. You mentioned that earlier. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah. So I, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I did a line when I was 20 for McCall's with another girl. And so I was kind of already working with them at that point. And my favorite thing in the whole world is designing patterns. Like I absolutely love designing. I went and got my undergrad in business and marketing, but then I went back to school to Parsons in New York and got my my fashion design degree and, you know, learned how to pattern draft. And I just, you know, I absolutely love designing. So I really got into it by kind of growing up in this industry and really wanting to create a line that was modern and cool and hopefully that younger people would, you know, I mean, younger and older, everyone, but that was a little bit more modern and a little bit cooler than what I had been seeing in the books. You know, not that I love Palmer Pledge patterns. I always have, but you know, the stuff in the 90s and the, you know, there was a time for that for sure. But I just wanted to design some things that I would want to wear. And I really am enthusiastic about fit. And I want to design patterns that help people learn how to fit themselves with the tissue fitting method.
I think that you did a really good job of kind of modernizing that style under this name of Palmer Pledge. And I do love your designs for McCall's. I think they are really chic and modern and beautiful. Can you tell us where you get your inspiration for your pattern designs?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely changed over the years. I used to like be kind of a hippie child. So I did like a lot more like free flowing, like kind of hippie sewing kind of stuff. But it has definitely changed over the years. You know, a lot of, I look at all the runway shows, you know, I get a lot of inspiration from ready to wear designers. I look at a lot of vintage. I look at a lot of old patterns. You know, I have an amazing archive here in Portland at my mom's house that we have, you know, she has about maybe 500 patterns, vintage patterns. And, you know, there's different elements and design elements. I like a modern, very clean look, but I like to add little design elements that make it different. So, you know, maybe a hem that's just slightly lower in the back, nothing dramatic. Or a shaped raglan, or an inset sleeve, you know. And I do a lot of like shopping and going and trying on clothes and seeing how different designers fit their different designs and how much ease they put into them. And you know, so I look around a lot. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of shopping. Hard life, right?
Oh, it sounds terrible. I would love to also hear more about the process of designing for McCall's because you live in New York, which is where their office is, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us kind of what the process is from, you know, when you sketch out your design until it comes out as an actual pattern?
Absolutely. So I do have the luxury of being able to go into the office and work directly with them. So what I do is I'm an illustrator. I'm, you know, big on the computers. I'm an illustrator whiz, and I do all of my flat sketching in Illustrator. And then I also, you know, I will, if I want a very specific detail, I will just draft it out. So sometimes, you know, I have in the past drafted patterns from scratch for them. Usually I will sketch and then go in and show them my sketches, and we'll talk over, you know, what is selling, what's not selling. And usually I want to do something that's not selling very well. So they will, you know, turn my ideas down, or they'll say, that's great, let's do it. But you know, they know, like I live in, you know, we live on the coasts, right? So we live in kind of such a bubble, and there's people all over the world, but also in the middle of America that sew a lot. And I try to not be too fashion forward, that it's not going to resonate with everyone. So they help me bring me back down to earth in that way. But they're really good merchandisers, and that's really helpful. And so, yeah, so I give them my sketches, and then once something is confirmed, they either take my draft or they'll draft and make a muslin for that design. And I'll come in and I'll try on the muslin, and I'll make any, you know, I'll be like, oh, I envision the lapel to be a little bit narrower here. I would like the sleeve band to be wider. I would like top stitching, blah, blah, blah. And then once that's approved, once the muslin is approved, then I pick all of my fabric. So I do go out on the market in New York. That's another nerdy thing that I love. I mean, I think all sewers love, but I'm a huge fabric nerd. And so I pick all of my fabric and I'll go and source it. And unfortunately, we don't have a Joann's right in New York. So I don't do a lot of shopping there, but I do, you know, we do get what they are going to have in for the next season. So sometimes I'll pick from the Joann's catalog, or most of the time I'll go out on the market in New York and source some beautiful textiles, and then they make up the samples and they do the photography. Karen is the stylist there, and she does some awesome, you know, styling and photography. I heard that they're starting to do more outdoor photography, which sounds really great because the studio photography can get pretty bland after a while.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a really fun process for you. I mean, again, hard life, right? Going fabric shopping and sketching out designs.
I
do love your aesthetic though. And I mean, having met you in person, I think you definitely class up camp a lot with your style. You always look flawless. I don't know how you do it, but I love your modern style, and your aesthetic really shines through with your patterns. So I hope our listeners go and check out your line with McCall's. We'll link that in the show notes so they can flip through your catalog and see if there's anything they might want to make.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. I need to I do have a little less control in the photography and McCall's, but I do need to, and I have been trying to, I run the Palmer Pledge blog. So I haven't blogged in a really long time, but, I need to get back on it. And it is a really fun thing to do, blogging, but it kind of like, it's so much work to sew and like get something finished, and then you have to go like take pictures and write about it. I need to get better at it. I definitely need to. I didn't come from the blogging, you know, thing. It kind of surpassed me for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, I love my Instagram though, because I feel like it's a blog without, like, I can take the beautiful pictures, and then I don't feel like I'm a writer. You know, my mom got the writing gene. I'm good with the visual stuff. Yeah. So I love Instagram.
So do we. So do you have a favorite pattern that you've designed?
Oh man, and I'm not just saying this because it's the newest one, but I'm really loving, I just finished my second moto jacket. So I just did a moto jacket. It's not as hard as it sounds. It's not as scary as it sounds. But I put a lot of work into the design of this, and like the shape of the lapels, and it, you know, the subtle details of the back yoke is shaped, and there's a back pleat, and the back is a little bit longer than the front, and there's a curved hem in the back. And I really am loving this jacket, and it's actually not that hard to make. It's really fun. I love making outerwear. I just do.
Me too. It's so incredibly satisfying. And it's one of those things that people are not going to assume that you made yourself. And it's very impressive to show it off.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm a huge outerwear fan too, but I've always wanted to make a moto jacket and I haven't yet. So I'm definitely going to check out this pattern. Do you recommend that people make it with real leather, or can you also make it with pleather or like maybe a denim instead?
Yeah. I mean, I made it with a wool melt on. So I think it looks really cool and like a wool. Mood has some awesome wool melt ons, Mood Fabrics. And it could also be in like a low pile velvet, like velveteen. So cotton velveteen would be awesome for spring, I think.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. And all you need is a zipper. You can put the snaps on yourself, or you can just forego the snaps. You don't have to do it. But I have these like little tools that I hammer the snaps in, and it's kind of fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But that's my favorite. I mean, what I find about making outerwear too is that you, I wear it so much. I end up wearing it like all season.
Yeah.
And I feel like I put so much time into it, but I really am getting the benefits of that.
Yeah, and I like that you said it's not as hard as it sounds, because it's really true. Coats seem complicated, but you know, with a good instruction booklet and maybe some online tutorials, I think anyone who can sew a shirt can sew a coat. It just might take a little longer.
Totally.
And can you tell us what your most popular pattern is in your line right now?
Oh my goodness. It's McCall's 7407. It's the flare knit top and dress.
Ooh.
So it's that fit and flare dress. I did this a few years ago, and it is still just like killing it. It is
cool.
And it's super simple. It's like the easiest thing. And I should probably just take cues from that. But it is really, it's really fun. And it's awesome in this like very drapey jersey, like rayon jersey.
Beautiful. And then I'm surprised by that because the pattern that I've been seeing a lot in the sewing community right now is the kind of wide leg cropped trousers that you have with the square pockets in the front.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people make those recently and they're so great. My office assistant has a pair and she wears them all the time and they look so great.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I love those. I absolutely love making pants. Teaching pant fit is actually my favorite. Like I love teaching the dress fit. But the pant fit, because people come out of it and they are like, because pants are tough, man. Pants are, they're not tough, but they are when you're trying to do it yourself. And they come out of that class and they're, that people are just so stoked. So yeah, I love 7445. I love that, my crop flare pant. I've made it like 5-6 times. It's super flattering. The high waist, you know, you can do a zipper in the back or the front. There's so many options there. But I love that one. But I guess a lot of people, at least this is what McCall's tells me, is that not a lot of people want to make pants. People just like dresses.
Yeah. It's intimidating, I think, for all of those fitting reasons.
Yeah. As soon as you involve a crotch, you know, like crotch fitting is intimidating because you don't know what to do with all those folds. You know, just a lot going on.
Listen, this is where tissue fitting can really, really benefit. Like, this is where it can totally change, because if you tissue fit the pant just a little bit, it's going to be so much better and a lot closer to a good fit when you get to fabric. It's a really good thing to do when you're sewing pants.
So I want to circle back to the Fit for Real People book for a minute, because you're redoing it. You mentioned that it's coming out. What can people expect from this new version versus the old version? And if people have the old book, do you still recommend that they invest in the new book?
Oh my gosh. So absolutely. The new book has all of the princess fitting information in it, which the old book didn't have. I think they did an update when it had some of it. I'm not exactly sure, but it has a lot of new information, a lot. And I designed it, so it just looks way cooler. But it's kind of structured differently, and it's more, I think it, at least to me, it makes a lot of sense, the flow of the book and how it's segmented into the different portions of your body. We did all new illustrations, so all new hand flat illustrations, and there's new fashion illustrations in there, new photography, new bodies, more diversity, which I think is so important. And yeah, it's a new book. It's definitely a new book.
Well, I know I'm going to be grabbing a copy because I love the old one. And I think it'll be nice to have both. I just love in the old one, all of the old styles that people are wearing really crack me up. But it will be nice to see, you know, some more modern styles and be able to relate a little bit more to the fit issues that people are having.
Hey guys, the 90s are back.
I love the 70s, 90s mashup thing that's happening right now. It's making me really happy.
I know, me too. But yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people pick up the book and they're like, oh, I can't really relate to this because it's, you know, because of the style of it and the photography. But it really, the information is the most important thing. But I am really excited about this new book because I actually just sent you guys the cover. Ooh. So you can see it. But it has a lot of great additions to it. And it is a great homage to the old book, but with more. I'm really excited.
Amazing. And did your mom work with you on this book, or was it just you that took the reins for this one?
My mom and I worked together on this book. So I designed it. I drew most of the illustrations, so the flat pattern alterations and drawings. And we also had another artist that helped us out too, because it was a lot. But I did all of the layout of the book and the design of it, and my mom wrote it.
Wow. I'm looking at your cover illustration right now and I love it. The way that you've done the tissue slightly see-through with the pins and just, yeah, the style. Oh, it's beautiful. Gorgeous. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. So that will be up for pre-sale on Friday. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And where can our listeners go to find that online?
So we will have, we're going to send out a big email blast. And then on the Palmer Pledge Facebook page, I will put a link to the product. And you can also find it at palmerpledge.com. You'll just have to navigate to books and find the product. But it'll be like a normal product that you would buy online, but it's a pre-sale. So it'll ship in about four-ish weeks or 5 weeks from that point. But I think you get a free spiral if you buy the pre-sale. So it's the cost of the regular book, but you get a free spiral bound book, meaning you get upgraded to the spiral.
Right. Well, yeah, spiral is nice because it can lay flat on your table as you're working, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the other thing I want to talk a little bit about is all of your education that you do. You mentioned that you have a Craftsy class that our listeners might be interested in and that you also do workshops. Can you talk a little bit about both those things?
Absolutely. So I did three Craftsy classes. So I did one for pants, one for blouses and tops, and I did a knits fitting class. So they're all the Palmer Pledge tissue fitting method. I fit different people, different bodies, and we focus in different areas throughout the class. So you get to kind of, you can jump around or you can watch the whole thing and see what applies to you. And it really walks you through the steps and the tissue fitting order, which is, like I've mentioned before, so important because it really helps structure the fitting process for you. And I also, you know, those classes are super in depth on Craftsy, and they're really helpful. And from the Craftsy classes, I've had a lot of people be like, I love this. I love doing it. It's really working, but I want more hands-on. So then they've wanted to come and do it in person and have me or one of the other amazing, we have tons of teachers, but in our other locations, whatever's closest to them, people have come and take hands-on classes from the Craftsy class. So it's like, it's a really good introduction to tissue fitting. And then if you want to get more in depth and do different types of designs, fit different types of designs, it's awesome to come and do a class in person. Because also, if you don't have a fitting buddy, like I said, it is kind of harder to do it yourself. You can definitely do it with a handheld mirror and a full-length mirror and just by looking behind you with that handheld mirror. But it's great to have a professional do it on you too.
Yeah, I think you'd learn a lot from that experience of just having a second set of eyes.
Totally. And I teach at the Palmer Pledge School in Brooklyn, which is at Workroom Social, which is Jenny's sewing school, Jenny Weiss, who you guys also interviewed and who runs Camp Workroom Social. We teach the Palmer Pledge tissue fitting method at Jenny's school. So I'm the teacher there for the method. And I do about four classes a year there. So I do two upper body and two lower body.
Awesome. And if our listeners want to perhaps take one of those workshops, where can they find out more information about them?
Yeah. So all of the workshops are on our website, palmerpletch.com. It's Pletch, P-L-E-T-S-C-H. It's hard to pronounce, I know. But so you just go to learn and then you go to our workshop locations and you can see all of our sewing schools. So Brooklyn, Connecticut, Michigan, Oregon, Philadelphia, Seattle, minus Brooklyn. And if you click on Brooklyn, you can then see all of the classes that are offered at the bottom.
Wonderful. And we will definitely pop links for all of the things that we talked about today in the show notes. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you online on social media and your website?
Absolutely. So you can always find me on my Instagram because I'm much better at keeping up with that. It's at Melissa Watson Design. You can also find me on the Palmer Pledge website, you know, for my courses, my workshops, and on Craftsy and on the McCall Pattern Company YouTube page. I have some classes on that. Where else? Workroom Social, come visit me in person. Come see me face to face. Let's have a conversation.
I think if people can, that would be an amazing experience. We got to chat with so many people at camp last year because we were going around interviewing people about their experience. And the people in the pants fitting class, I think, had maybe the most transformative experience. Like you said, just getting to actually fit pants is pretty incredible. So if you can make it out to Brooklyn to do that, definitely do.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And it's just 2 days, so it's just a weekend. But it's intensive, but you get to hang out with me and Jenny, and actually the one in May, Patty Palmer is coming too.
Oh my God.
I know. So it's Mother's Day weekend. It's May 12th and 13th, and it's a dress fitting intensive, and my mom will be there.
Cool.
The originator herself.
Yes, please do say hi to your mom from us and thank her for all of her hard work and pioneering, being the first independent person to be brought on with McCall's. I mean, that's incredible. What an achievement.
Yeah, yeah. I will. She's just wants it to keep going. She just wants more people like you to keep the sewing industry alive. So you guys are doing a great job. It's awesome. And it's so fun to listen to. And I'm sure it's so much work, but it's very much appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. And you as well, you bring so much to the community. And we are so happy that you came on the show with us today. So thank you so much for talking to us about fitting. We've given so much great information to our listeners. So thank you and good luck with everything you have going on this year. And I hope our listeners go check you out.
Thank you. I'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.ca.
We're recording today in sunny Vancouver, Canada, and you can get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Love to Sew.
And send us your questions about sewing at lovetosewpodcast.com/question. Or better yet, leave us a voicemail at 1-844-SEW-WHAT. That's 1-844-739-9428.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We've given so much great information to our listeners. So, yeah, thank you and bye.
Thank you and bye.
That was weird. Okay, hold on. I'm going to start over.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's always so awkward just saying goodbye at the end.